This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
My name is Germ. This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas. I tell you, I never thought the day would come when I would say that I have a favorite lawyer. But as it turns out, I have a favorite lawyer. How often in your career have you heard people saying that they have favorite lawyers?
Very few times, actually. Mostly in connection with criminal cases, when you really do need a lawyer, a really good one. For example, when that really, really good guy, the judge in Weimar, was searched, his car, his house, his law, his office, and his cell phone and his computer were seized. He needed a lawyer. And I know that most judges probably don't like lawyers, but in this case, he really needed one. And I got him in touch with one of the best criminal defense attorneys. And I think they're fast friends now. The fight has to be fought on three different levels. One is, of course, the courts of law. We realize that many of the courts of law have been compromised because the other side, as I call them, the those very rich and powerful people who are managing this agenda through BlackRock and other huge funds, which then invest into Amazon and other huge corporations, which then take over the market share of those small and medium-sized businesses that are being destroyed through this pandemic. So that's the other side. We know that they have done their best to stack some of the courts, at least in the Western countries, but I'm pretty sure that it's not much different in the African countries, so as to make sure that these cases will not really be tried. In particular, that the evidence on the foundation of this plandemic, as I like to call it now, the PCR test, that this evidence is never heard, that none of the expert witnesses is ever heard. Well, I think that is not going to be, this is wishful thinking, it's not going to happen because we've already gotten some of our experts into the courts of law. I mean, at a high price for that particular judge in Weimar, but he did listen to our experts, both on the mask mandates and on what this does to children and on the PCR test.
Yeah, I think it's fairly clear now that the PCR test is the sort of foundational mythology of this entire plandemic.
Yeah, that's what it is. I was just on an interview with Steve Bannon, the former campaign manager of Trump, and I think he was for a while, he was his chief of staff as well. Mm. And in the United States, people are now, even in the mainstream media, are now beginning to understand that the PCR test is what this is all about. We have to be careful. I don't think we've talked about this yet, but we have to be careful so as to not fall into the trap of there's a new narrative out, which we think is false. Of course, everybody in the United States is excited that finally Fauci is being thrown under the bus, and that Gates obviously has some serious problems as well. But the Fauci story comes across as a Trojan horse. One side of the story, which is being used sort of like the vehicle for the other story, for the Trojan horse story, is finally he's being exposed. Now we know that he's lied to the American people, that he's been using American taxpayers' money behind their backs and against the president's orders because he was spending this money on what they call gain of function experiments, which were conducted, of all places, at the Wuhan Virology Lab. That's only one side of the story. The other side of the story, and that's the dangerous one, is he didn't tell you that a dangerous virus escaped from that lab. Now, that story is false. They need this story, and they're using it in preparation for what's probably going to happen. I hope it's not going to happen, but all the experts are telling us it's going to happen. They need this story for the fall, winter, and spring, when those who got vaccinated, who got the shots, rather, will run into the what they call the wild virus, either a flu virus or a cold virus, because that's when all the really, really terrible adverse reactions are expected, which, again, I hope are not, this is not going to happen, but this would imply that all of the experts who we spoke with, one of them is Luc Montagnier, he's a Nobel Prize winner in connection with the HIV virus. Then yesterday we had a very important interview with Dr. Roger Hutchinson from Canada. I think he's a British citizen, or at least he was born and raised there, but he's a very important figure in this, Eden, including Mike Eden, formerly of Pfizer. They're all warning us, you've got to do something to stop these vaccinations, because they're not vaccinations, then they're not tested. You, the people out there, are the guinea pigs for the ongoing study right now. So if that doesn't if that doesn't happen, everyone will be happy. But if it does happen, that's precisely what they need this story for. Because in the fall, when hopefully not, but people will fall ill, and some people, many people maybe will die, that's when they're going to come up with this story. Dangerous virus from the Wuhan lab. That is what is causing these deaths. That is what's causing all these illnesses. We need more flu. Well, I'm sorry, more vaccinations, et cetera, et cetera. But in reality, the accident, which did happen, has nothing to do with the pandemic that we're dealing with. This is what really happened. There was an accident, yes. This was in late 2019, and the Chinese government really was worried about maybe something serious has happened. That's why they ordered the person, a woman who runs that lab, to immediately return to Wuhan. And even while she was still on a train, they took down the website so as to cover their tracks. So that's evidence enough to show us that there's that they really were worried something serious has happened. But 2 or 3 weeks later, they realized there was nothing really to worry about, because maybe one or two people died. I mean, that's bad enough, but it's not a serious outbreak of anything, because that was the end of the story. But it wasn't for those people who had been planning for this pandemic, and their concrete plans have been in the making for at least 10 years. Think they started in 2010 or so, the Rockefellers, the Gateses, and the others. They took this opportunity and used it as a springboard to roll out their plan and go forward with their agenda. And that's when they told Drosten to start his PCR test thing. I think couple of days after the first rumors were out that there's something going on at the Wuhan lab, they told him to go forward with his PCR test. And then in January, I think on January the 22nd and 23rd, they had a first, the WHO had a first emergency meeting, because the people in the background were using the pharmaceutical industry to apply pressure so that the WHO would announce this public health emergency of international concern, fake, PHEIC. Why? Well, they need this in order to, right from the start, nobody really cared about mask mandates, lockdown, social distancing. Those were only the steps that needed to be taken in order to make people obedient and to make them believe that the only way out was vaccination. Yeah. So that's what they were geared up to do, go for the vaccinations. But in order to be able to use vaccines, well, we know they're not vaccines, but in order to be able to use an untested drug, in this case, vaccines, there's no studies for these vaccines. The studies are ongoing right now. We're all of us are the guinea pigs. In order to be able to use untested drugs, you first need the declaration of a public health emergency of international concern. If you have an emergency of that nature, then you get this emergency use authorization, even for untested drugs, by the CDC in the United States, or by the American government. And here in Europe, the conditional use approval by the EU Commission. But that's why they pushed so hard for the public health emergency of international concern. But when the first try went nowhere because there were no cases. The only thing they could agree on is we're going to meet again in 2 weeks. They had a second emergency meeting 2 weeks later. And that's when they declared the public health emergency of international concern. Now, what had changed? Only one thing. His Drosten's test had been, he had given his test to the WHO, and they had recommended it for the entire world to be used as a gold standard for detecting infections. And they had used it, and as we now know, they had produced lots of cases, which weren't cases, but only false positives. Because the Drosten test, apart from the fact, we talked about this, apart from the fact that these PCR tests can't tell you anything about infections, the way that he set it up, at 45 cycles of amplifications, the only thing that results from this is false positives. Remember, Frankfurt Public Health Agency disregards anything beyond 24 cycles of amplification as totally unscientific. And Mike Eden tells us at 35 cycles, you end up with at least 97% false positives.
Fauci himself, he also at one stage said that anything above 25 cycles is pretty much junk science.
Yeah. That's what he said. And then he forgot about it.
Yeah.
They just wanted this public health emergency. And the only way they could get it is by creating cases with the help of the Drosten test, which, as we now know, created only false positives.
Now, Catherine Austin Fitz.
She, in a book which she wrote, it's called The End of Currencies, she explains how this pandemic is being used to introduce not cryptocurrency, but a digital money of sorts. I haven't quite understood it, and I haven't read the entire book yet. I'm halfway through, but I have so much to do. But what she tells us is absolutely plausible. It makes sense. I think this is what this pandemic is being used for, in order to ultimately have a world government. Even the Pope announced in his, I think this is in October of last year, I think it's his encyclica is called Fratelli Tutti or something. I think that's what it's called, Fratelli Tutti. Even he calls for the Catholic, for the Catholics to agree to a new world order under a world government under the United Nations. Now, in the meantime, we know who the United Nations are. We know who the WHO is. We even know what the World Wildlife Fund is. Behind all of these institutions, some of them charitable, some of them just NGOs, are the same people who are behind what's going on right here. The people who are using their money to make money on as many fronts as possible.
Yeah, it's money and power. Isn't it funny, Rainer? Isn't it funny that the world's bastion of godliness, the Pope, he's a man of God, and he's telling everybody to get a vaccine?
It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
What happened to
it
praying?
Doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Sorry, I hope he doesn't hear me saying that.
I have, as I said, I have just spoken to a group of South Africans, lawyers and also pastors amongst them. They feel the very same way. They feel exactly the same way. They're saying there's something scary going on. There may even be a schism of the Catholic Church based on the interviews that we did with all of these experts. We didn't just speak with experts of the scientific community, with epidemiologists, virologists, psychiatrists, psychologists, economists, lawyers, etc., etc. But we also spoke with people, for example, this past Friday, who wrote in this particular example, a woman from Spain who wrote a doctoral dissertation on the Bilderbergers. Now, most people don't even know what this is. Well, this is no coincidence because the Bilderbergers, which is a group of very powerful people, have tried to keep their meetings completely secret. The first meeting, I think, happened in 1954, and they've tried to keep it as secret as possible. And then finally, I don't know when, but in the 1990s, maybe early 2000s, they couldn't deny it anymore. So these are really powerful people who are meeting all the time. And in some way, I haven't quite understood it yet, but we're going to need a couple of more experts on that. But in some way, they're the ones who are deciding who is going to be in what position when, including the head of the European Union.
Yes.
Thing is, this has nothing to do with democracy.
No.
Democracy means rule of the people. It's bottom up and not top down.
Yes.
What they're trying to do is install an international, a world government, which is going to do what they're telling them to do. And this world government then will have one size fits all rules and regulations and laws that have nothing to do with the people. For example, yeah. if you look at what most people don't even know existed, those world health regulations, I think is what it's called. It's an invention by the WHO. Remember, the WHO is a supranational organization, which was set up by private people, just like the World Economic Forum. It's a private invention where the rich and powerful meet. And so this is the same for the WHO. And they're imposing on us rules and regulations, in this case, in the shape of this world health regulation or international health regulations, which are apparently for the good of the people. They're using health, global health, sort of like a crowbar in order to force things upon us, which we otherwise wouldn't even go along with. These world or international health regulations are only good for the pharmaceutical industry, but not for the people.
I mean, Hans has a question. He says, look, you know, if the judges and the courts are bought, you know, then what?
Not all of them are bought. It is probably true that in most countries, in particular here in Germany, the courts are not independent. But as a rule, there's always a few who don't play along, one of them being the judge in Weimar. I mean, he did sort of suffer the consequences, but he knew it ahead of time. So he knew what he was getting himself into. He still did it because he believes in the rule of law. And many people have applauded him. Some of them behind the scenes, but he's gotten a lot of support. And I know that there are a lot of other lawyers out there, I'm sorry, judges out there, who are not corrupt, but only afraid. And the more cases we get in our favor that decide the PCR test cannot tell you anything about infections, that are decided by other judges, then this is sort of like an empowerment. It is it is empowerment for all those judges who are still sitting sort of cowering beneath their desks and who are afraid, but who feel terrible about this because they know that the rule of law really requires them to do the same as their colleagues are doing. So this is what we're aiming for. That's why we're bringing as many cases as possible into the courts of law. All the cases that have been filed will have to go to trial. There's no other way, at least not here in Germany. One of the cases we filed, the first class action case that we filed in Canada was, and this is not possible in Germany, but it is possible in Canada, was dismissed. There was no hearing. It was simply dismissed. But our colleague Michael Swinwood wrote an excellent appellate brief. So we're pretty optimistic about the case winning on appeal or getting us forward on appeal. Other cases have been filed in the United States. More cases will be filed in the United States. We've done some of these cases here in Germany. Unfortunately, it is quite obvious, as I said earlier, that most of the courts are not independent, at least not here in Germany. And that's why even the courts are under pressure. I think I told you about the case that I filed against Wheeler. He's the guy, he's the equivalent of Fauci. He's the guy who runs the equivalent of the American CDC, the RKI here in Germany. I filed a complaint for damages against him. And the amount in controversy, meaning the amount that I'm asking from him in damages, I set it at 50,000 euros in order to keep the expenses as low as possible, because even though I'm representing a business client, someone who runs a, He's the largest barefoot shoemaker in Germany. But I'm not in it for the money. We want to win these cases. We want to turn this thing around. So I set the amount in controversy at 50,000 euros. On the day that I don't know if I told you this, but on the day that I filed that case, on the very same day I filed it electronically, someone from the court, we don't know who did it, called the chancellor's office. This is totally unheard of. That tells me that they're really worried about these cases, because otherwise there's no other explanation for why an obscure court out there in the country in the middle of nowhere would call the chancellor's office simply because I filed a complaint there. I know this for a fact because one of the people who learned of this at the chancellor's office is in touch with me, and he called me a couple of minutes later and told me these people are in panic mode because they're trying to talk this thing down by claiming that this case is going to be dismissed, but that's not possible. It can't be dismissed, not in Germany. That's possible in some of the Anglo-American countries, but not in Germany. The next thing that happened is the three judges, this is a three-judge panel, decided that they would willfully, arbitrarily raise the amount in controversy from 50,000 euros to 31 million euros, thereby forcing my client, this corporation, to pay 350,000 euros in court expenses just to get this case served on the other party.
Wow. Yo, that's
3 days later, the equivalent of the American OSHA, which is Occupational Safety Health Agency, something like that, raided my client's productions facilities and harassed him. So that's what you get when you do this. That's the message that they were trying to signal to the rest of the world. However, this client is not going to back down. None of the other clients are backing down. I'm just telling you this in order to make clear how much pressure is applied on the judiciary and how here in Germany, at least, we cannot expect the judiciary to be independent. Some are independent and some will not back down, but most of the judiciary is not independent. The group of lawyers that is internationally connected and which is, all of us are on the same page. We all know that the PCR test is the foundation for the whole thing. So we do know how to attack. Mm-hmm. We also know about the vaccinations. That's another good argument for the court cases, because that is a red line that shouldn't have been crossed. Mm-hmm. It's a red line because of all the accidents, because of all these adverse reactions. It's making people angry, in particular now that they're going after the children too. So they've crossed too many red lines. But those cases are filed everywhere, so that with the intention of getting as many decisions in our favor as possible. But ultimately, Jeremy, ultimately, the plan is to set up an international tribunal, an international corona court, if you will. We're currently looking for an extraterritorial place where to set it up, and we're
I almost thought you said extraterrestrial. I'm thinking, whoa. Now, we're going on to a whole new level here.
That'll make the most sense, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. E.T. could be the presiding judge then. So that is really ultimately what we think is going to be needed in order to cope with what we call crimes against humanity, because after everything we've seen over the past 14 months or so, these are they're certainly the worst crimes against humanity ever committed. There may have been worse crimes which we don't know about, but this, even what happened in World War II pales in comparison with what's happening right now.
Jesse wants to know, do the Fauci emails help at all, legally?
Absolutely, because Fauci is one of the main protagonists of this, as we now call it, the plandemic, at least in the United States. Over here in Europe, in Germany, it's Drosten, and it's the guy who runs the RKI, Fauci's equivalent, Mr. Wheeler. But Fauci is a figurehead for the other side. So it is important to see how the how these emails tell you in great detail that one of the most important puppets they've been using has been lying to them, has been lying to the American public. And I think it's even more important to see how the other side is ready and willing to throw one of their own under the bus, because this is no coincidence. That's why I'm thinking that's why all of us at the Corona Committee are convinced that this is just a sideshow, because what they really want to tell us is there's a dangerous virus that escaped from that Wuhan lab, and he didn't tell you about it. Because, as I said, they need this story in the fall.
And it just gives them more reason to push for this vaccine.
Yes, yes, and more vaccines. People will ultimately probably have to get vaccinated every 6 months or so, or maybe every 10 seconds if they have their will.
Who are happy to take this vaccine, and they have no idea why they're taking it, and they have no idea what's in it. I just can't. I don't even have the words.
Yeah, it's easy to call this insanity, but we're talking about mostly intelligent people. As it happens, this morning I spoke with my ex-wife, and she and her children and her ex-husband, she was married before, he's a doctor. They're all fully vaccinated. I don't understand, because they're smart, intelligent people. But the thing is, what people don't realize is the WHO, which is the platform which the other side is using to use global health as a crowbar to make us do things that we otherwise wouldn't do. They have a program that's called Infodemic. I don't know if I told you this before. Mm-mm. Infodemic. This is their propaganda side. That's what they're using to influence the mainstream media and the social media. And that's why you find when your videos are taken down by YouTube, Google, that they're being taken down because they're not in accordance with the guidelines of the WHO. Well, since when is the WHO the arbiter of, yeah, of free speech?
Yeah.
Impossible. But that's how this works. That's, you have to take this into account. They're using their infodemic tool in order to make the mainstream media and the social media do what they tell them to do. And that influences a lot of people. Unless, of course, these people are able, as one of the professors of psychology explained this to us, are able to ask questions rather than to blindly follow orders. But only 20% or maybe 30% of the population has this capacity. Most people, and this has to do with, this is going too deep into psychology, but most people are happy to be told what to do. Most people don't want to have to think about what they're doing.
Brian Gerrish, I think you might know him.
Great guy, yes.
Yeah. And he was talking about exactly this, he used the analogy of Pavlov's dogs.
That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing, I had another Zoom conference with our friend Wolfgang Wodak, with Professor Bhakti. I think you spoke with him as well. We all agree and we all realize that these huge corporations, including Google, Facebook, Amazon,
Twitter,
many of them are more powerful than countries. You have to consider this. They're more powerful. They have more money than entire countries. And also keep in mind that there's pretty concrete evidence that the intelligence community invested in these social media. We don't know how much, but they're heavily influenced. Now, one of the people who we spoke with, very interesting woman from Finland, she's the former chief legal advisor of Nokia, you know, the cell phone company. Nokia used to be a small company that made rubber boots, I think. And then all of a sudden they became the number one cell phone maker.
And by the way, the best. That Nokia 3310 was the best cell phone ever made.
Yeah, but they somehow didn't make it into the smartphone era. But back then, this is 30 years ago, they were the number one cell phone maker, and that's when what this former legal advisor told us. Her name is Anu Palmu, very, very interesting person. She told us that she and the representatives of the other cell phone makers were called to speak with the, I think it was the NSA, National Security Agency in the United States. And they had to disclose their, what they call the encryption algorithms. And since then, and this is 30 years ago, since then, all cell phone conversations are being recorded. Now, I don't think that they know how to make sense of this, because this is way too much, and I just don't think they're smart enough. There's some smart people, but not very many. But at least they're being recorded. Now, if you take that into consideration and then look at Facebook and Twitter and all the others, don't you think that the security agencies have an interest in knowing what they're doing? I forgot to complete my sentence when you first asked me about the lawsuits. This crisis, let's put it that way, has to be fought on three different levels. In the courts of law, by way of exposing what's going on, exposing the other side by making things transparent. That's what you're doing. That's what we're doing with the Corona Committee. Many other people are doing the same thing. And then the one level that we shouldn't forget about, because we believe it's the most important one, it's on a spiritual level. And that is really, really important. I think I told you before, had somebody explained this to me a year and a half ago, I probably would have said, forget it. Yeah. I'm a lawyer. I'm a rational thinker. But all of a sudden, it turns out that this spiritual level is extremely important. And if the question is, where is this going? Well, that is probably the one factor, the most important of these three factors, that's going to turn things around. Because they, the other side, has absolutely no access. They're the ones with no empathy. They have no access to this level. So where is this going? Well, sooner or later, I hope sooner, before the fall, this will turn around. And then the other side, those who are responsible, will be held responsible, either in the courts of law or by that spiritual level in some way.
It's a fight essentially between good and evil, which essentially is that spiritual level. And it does very much seem to be like that.
I agree with that. I can't come to any other conclusion, because what is happening is so terrible, is so evil, that this is what it boils down to. It's a fight between good and evil. It's a fight between those who have empathy, who want to be and live like humans, and those who have no empathy and who don't care if we're all going to be digitalized. There's always hope. It's the most important thing that I have joined a new party that was founded a year ago in this country, and it's the only one, political party, it's the only one that cares about the Corona stuff. And they just had elections. We're gonna have our general elections will be in September, I think on September the 26th. We don't know if it's gonna happen. I do think it's gonna happen, but there are a lot of people who are a little bit concerned. There were state elections. We have 16 states in this country. There were state elections this past Sunday. And our party lost. And it turns out there's concrete evidence that there's election fraud involved, massive election fraud. So is that positive? No. But it's all coming out into the open because we have concrete evidence for this. We now understand, most of us understand, that our governments are not our governments anymore. Most of us understand that there's so much corruption going on out there, it is hard to overlook. So all of the things that we can see now, I wish we had seen them 30 years earlier, could have been dealt with, but maybe not, I don't know. Maybe this is meant to happen at this time, because now we have the right people in the right places. But that's the one thing that I find, I can't call it uplifting, but that's a positive thing, because you can only clean things up if you can see them. If only if you see the dirt, you can clean things up. So that's what's happening now. We had an interview with Dr. Roger Hutchinson from
Canada.
He's a pathologist. It was last night. It was a great interview. It's going to be up on our website. And our website is going to be in English, too. This interview is in English, of course, because he speaks English.
Good.
And that's what he told us when he ended the interview. Don't believe anything. Take a close look at everything and make up your own mind. That's so important.
Sure.
Because that's the only way to get to the core of the matter. You need information. Don't believe anything because they're lying to you all the time. That's what he said. And I think he's completely correct. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. We cannot rely on anyone except on ourselves. But those of us who are working, as I say, in the resistance, we have to connect. And the thing is, this is happening almost automatically. I know.
Yes.
You know, how did we get in touch? For some reason, you realized that maybe it's important, maybe it's interesting to talk to me. And I realized, well, this guy makes sense. And so this is happening all the time. We meet new people all the time, new people who are interesting to talk with, who are not boring. Because I remember when I was still in my old life, when I had to go to cocktail parties. Holy smokes. That was so boring. I always wish I hadn't gone there. I wish I had instead watched a John Wayne movie or something.
He said we need to decentralize our lives and take back our sovereignty. Start getting healthy. Don't believe in medicine and drugs for everything. You know, get into the sunshine. Go walk the dogs on the beach. You know, get fit. Eat less sugar. The things that are these days considered politically incorrect.
That's it. You're right. We have to take control of our lives. We have to take back our sovereignty from those global corporations, NGOs, and charities which are trying to dominate us. They're only the tools for the very rich and powerful who are truly evil people, because they are the ones who are pushing this agenda. And the only way to do this is by focusing on our regions, our communities, our families, and make our own rules tailor-made for our own individual communities and regions. Disconnect from those corporations and from those NGOs.
Yeah, it almost seems like you're saying localism versus globalism. And
Absolutely. This doesn't mean that we can't be connected. No, on the contrary. We should think regionally and locally, but we should be connected. What we shouldn't have is this overarching global government.
Big brother. No way.
This is what got us here. Yeah, that's Big Brother. Globalization is what got us here. There's some factors, there's some parts of globalization which make sense, but most don't. Most is about control. The thing about these vaccines, if a real study had been conducted, if a real study had been conducted about these, the real word is, of course,
gene therapy,
experimental gene therapies. That's what Dr. Hotze of Texas and Dr. Peter McCullough, great person to talk to. That's what they're saying. But the thing about these vaccines, if a real study had been conducted, it would have checked for two things: efficacy, is it efficient, does it do what it's supposed to do, and side effects, adverse effects, is there any danger connected with it? Because even if you have an effective anti-flu vaccine, which as a side effect gives you a heart attack, it's not going to go on the market, right? But the first question that you have to ask, apart from these trials, which were never conducted, is, are these vaccines necessary? No, they're not, for two reasons. We have herd immunity already. Most of us are immune, meaning all of us are immune. That's why it's called herd immunity. And the other thing is, there are alternative treatments that are quite effective and have no side effects, are not dangerous. Ivermectin being one of them. Or a healthy lifestyle with lots of vitamin D, for example, lots of exercise, that kind of thing.
Rainer, I am going to go and get myself another drink. And
me too, Jeremy. It's always a pleasure. Take it easy.
Take it easy, man. My name is Jerm. This is Jerm Warfare.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please visit supportjerm.com.